The Bible reading this morning is Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2 and then 12, starting on page 77. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you.
Thank you, Mary. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for these words penned so long ago, but yet so true and so relevant to us today. Help us, we pray, to value your word, O God, more and more. Help us to learn to apply your word in our lives. But may it become more and more precious to us, we pray. Even as we consider these three verses in our time here this morning today. Bless your word to each one of us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's maybe time for a bit of honesty here this morning. Don't worry, I'm not asking you to put your hands up. But I wonder, how many of us have used this commandment in conversation with our children? Especially if we feel that we're losing a battle or losing an argument. Sometimes we might say, because I said so. And that has authority of its own, doesn't it? But sometimes we might want to spiritualize it and say, well, God says so. You must honor your parents. And I think sometimes maybe we, and this is perhaps confession time, I think sometimes maybe I've used it in the past as almost a get-out-of-jail-free card to use in times when we need to pull rank over our children. But I think to do so diminishes what God designed in this commandment, as I think we shall see as we consider this morning. So in this series where we're looking at the Ten Commandments, we're not just looking at these as a set of rules, as a set of instructions for God's people. They were on the one hand, of course, but it's not just merely a set of rules. But we're looking at it in particular as a tool for worship. Remember the early chapters of Exodus. You go back to Exodus chapter 4, when God sent that message via Moses to Pharaoh, and he said, let my son go so that he may worship me. Let my son go so that he may worship me. And so this gives us some of the background to why we're considering the Ten Commandments, as I say, not just as a list of instructions, but as a way to worship God in all of our life. And so very early on in their journey into the wilderness, so the children of Israel, having rescued his people from the slavery of Egypt, having destroyed the enemy in the form of the chasing Egyptian army, destroyed them, remember, on the seashore, and he opened the ways for the people to pass across towards the promised land, and God brought the ways back in destruction over the Egyptian army. Having provided for his people in miraculous way, manna from heaven, this bread, this fine, sweet bread that God provided for them on a daily basis. Quails even a bit of meat on the side. Water from gushing from the rock. And having helped them to overcome Amalek, their first enemy out of Egypt, having done all of these things, God brings his people to Mount Sinai, where he teaches them how to worship him, the one true God. Remember where we start with this reading, and we're repeating these first two verses every time we consider each of these commandments. So in these first two verses, God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It reminds us of the source. It reminds us of who we're talking about here. It reminds us of the one who is desirous that we should worship him. And we should worship him in this particular way. And it brings us straight back to God. And even in that sense, even the way that God presents himself at the beginning of this chapter, it elevates this from just a list of do's and don'ts and presents it as a way of responding to the Almighty God. And so, as we come to this fifth commandment, the focus shifts. But the message is the same. The first four commandments were towards God. Have no other gods before the Lord your God. Make no image or idols to bow down to. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. And then last week, Andrew considered, remember the Sabbath by keeping it holy. So each of those four commandments were towards God. And then in these remaining six commandments, they were towards one another. They were horizontal in that sense. So the first four were vertical. The next six are horizontal and connect with our horizontal relationships. And so as we begin these last six commandments, which have to do with those relationships with one another around us, God draws our focus and our attention to honoring our parents. But remember, as we go through this in the next few minutes, remember, this is in the context of worshiping God, of responding to God. It takes away that legalistic tick box mentality, which says, I suppose I ought to worship God. Or I suppose I ought to honor my parents because God's word says it. It takes it away from that and lifts it. To put it in another way, we're choosing to worship God by honoring our parents. And as we acknowledge who God is and what he has done for us, for each one of us, so we want to respond worshipfully by honoring those whom God has set over us. But let me be clear. I recognize, I understand, for some of you here today, this is a walk in the park. When you consider the instruction, honor your parents, respect your parents, it's a doddle. It's easy to do because you have a good relationship with your parents and you've got good history and they've been good role models to you. Good shining examples of what parenting, godly parenting means. And so in that sense, this commandment needs little or less, perhaps, working out than for others. For others here this morning, they've not experienced that form of relationship with their parents. And a little later, we shall look at what it might look like to apply the principles of this commandment. But first, let's notice in our text that this is the only commandment which comes with a blessing. You'll have noticed that as we read it. Verse 12, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving to you. I think this reminds us of the seriousness of the command. That as we respond to what God is instructing us by way of worshiping him, he's saying when you do this, you will live a long life and a fruitful life. And whilst this is the first of those horizontal commandments that I've mentioned already, it reminds us God brings his blessing in to the keeping of that commandment. He comes in with a promise. Now, I want to be clear at this point. I don't believe this commandment is saying, if you're a good boy or girl and obedient to your parents and do everything that they say for the rest of your life, then you will live to 100 years old. That's not what the scripture's talking about here. You have to remember that God was speaking to a nation. He was speaking to his people that he had delivered. He had saved them out of Egypt, brought them en masse, a number of 2 million or whatever it was. brought them out of that slavery and was leading them towards a land that he had promised for them. And so he was speaking to them as a nation, as a people, and letting them know that if they allowed this principle to work amongst them, they would prosper in the land that he was giving to them. But why would this be? Well, the relationship of parents and children is the first relationship that we experience, isn't it? When we're born, the first relationship that you know is not necessarily with the midwife. You don't have a relationship with the midwife. Your first relationship that you experience is not your relationship with a friend that lives down the street. Your first relationship that becomes embedded in your life is that with your parents. Now, some societies and governments, of course, have tried to replace the relationship to parents between parents and children with a relationship between the state and children. Perhaps not the moment to go into the detail of that one here. But just consider it. It goes against what God's word is saying. Because this first horizontal commandment is in connection with a relationship between children and parents. And so as we're born, we have no concept of responsibility. We have no concept of relationship. But as we begin to grow and develop as children, often the first words that are uttered are dada or mama, a recognition of that relationship that God has put in place. And the child is then beginning to experience something of that loving relationship with their parents. And I believe this forms the basis of the fabric of our society. And as these things like obedience, respect, love, and care, as they're all worked out here in this relationship of children and parents, so they can be seen and experienced in society at large. Now, don't worry, I'm not living in utopia here. I recognize that we live in a broken, hurting world which has been ravaged by sin. But the principles were established by God here on Mount Sinai. That if you as a nation apply this to your lives of honoring, respecting your parents, if you apply it to your lives, then you as a nation will know prosperity and longevity in the land that God was giving them. Now, we haven't got time to go through all the references this morning, but you only have to go to somewhere like Proverbs 23, where it says there, the one of the instructions in the proverb there is, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And we come to the New Testament, and Jesus clearly teaches that to try and use workarounds to not provide for your parents is sinful. The reference in Matthew 15, I think it's also in Mark chapter 9, the Lord addresses this specific commandment. The Pharisees were using the money, the gifting that they had given to the temple, that they had given to God, and saying, well, I've given all that money to God, I can't provide for my parents now. And Jesus effectively tells the Pharisees that behavior, that mentality is sinful. He reinforces that this commandment that God gave on Mount Sinai was still relevant for them, was still of importance and still needed to be considered. He clearly says to them, you can't do that. Paul also reinforces the tenor of this command when he says in Colossians, he says, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's not just a simple instruction, obey your parents, picking up the concept of this fifth commandment, but it's pleasing to God. That's why we do it, not just because God's word says it, although that's important, but we do it because it pleases God. And as we please God in the way that we function, it gives him worship. It brings honor to his name. There are many other New Testament references that we can draw on to remind us that this principle set by God on Mount Sinai still extends and is still relevant today. But I just wanted to get to the point this morning of what does this look like for me? What does it look like for you? As you go out to work tomorrow morning or whatever it is you do, as you even leave this building later on today and go back out into the world there and engage with society and seek to live your life in a way that honors God, what does this specific commandment look like? Now, I told you it was confession time earlier. I confess I've struggled with this word. Not struggled with it. I've really had to dig deep with this. On my side of the family, we're not a close family. I love my parents. Please don't misunderstand me when I say this. But there are significant areas where we disagree. But because I choose to worship God by honoring my parents, that means we regularly visit them. We try to help them where we can. We try to be, I try to be a good son to them. Why? Because God's word tells me to do that? Yes, on one hand. But on the other hand, because it's an act of worship. In whatever ways we may disagree, I recognize that in God's sovereignty, they are the parents that God has given me. So that's our starting point here. Honoring my parents means I recognize God's sovereign provision. Let me open this up a little bit more. If we believe, and I certainly do, if we believe that a child, a baby, is a gift from God, and if we believe that God does not make mistakes, then my being placed as number four in the David Bodman family is by God's perfect plan and design. And as I accept that and put it into practice in my life, as difficult as our lives may be and as difficult as our relationships may be with our parents, I don't know the detail for all of you here this morning, but no matter how difficult that relationship might be, as we accept that my being placed in this family is part of God's sovereign provision, then it leads us to worship. We recognize that this is not just about this nuclear family. We recognize that this is something outside of this family. We recognize that this is part of God's ordering, his design for Tim Bodman. And where he's placed Andrew Evans is part of his ordering, his design for Andrew Evans to be brought up in that particular family. It's God's provision. And when we see that, there's something of worship to God through it. Now, you may be writhing in your seat and thinking, but he doesn't know what I've had to experience in my family. I don't. That's true. But I'd love to talk with you and pray with you afterwards if that's you. Because I think we do, we need to get hold of, and I think this particular commandment really gets to grip with the sovereignty of God. I'm going to go off beam here slightly. Bear with me, I will come back. But you consider all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the struggles that you go through in life. I came to it, Jackie and I went through some experiences that we came to it and we had to learn this, that God was sovereign over all these terrible circumstances. Because if we say that God is not sovereign, who is in control? The devil? The world? Individuals around us? No, our God is almighty. Our God is the sovereign God of the universe. He is in control of every circumstance. And he's in absolute control of where he was going to place me in a family. And when I realize that and when I embrace that, it causes me to worship him for all that he is and all that he has done. And so I respect and honor my parents because I recognize God's wisdom, God's design, his ordering. Number two, as we consider the challenge of this is not about absolute obedience to your parents for the rest of your life. I've had many conversations pastorally with people over the years who have struggled with this whole concept. That if it means I should honor my parents, should I always do what my parents say, even after I've left home and have my own family and so on? I don't believe so. Let me take you to Genesis chapter 2. I'll read the verse for you. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says, a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. So whilst I was living in my parents' house up to the age of 20, was it, when I got married? I was subject to their rules. I was subject to their ways of doing things. And yes, confession again, I rebelled against it, and I rebelled against the way they tried to bring us up. I pushed back on the rules somewhat. And I'm sure every one of us can identify with that. But when Jackie and I got married, we became a separate unit. I was no longer directly a part of the David Bodman family. We were no longer directly part of the John Surtees family. We were now the Tim Bodman family. Yes, with very close ties and relationships to those other two families. But I was now the head of our family under God. And so I was no longer subject to the rules in those two other households. And let's be frank, many of the things that both of us were taught, we brought into our marriage and our new household that we established. But I was no longer subject to those rules and no longer under the burden and the bondage of keeping all those rules and regulations for the rest of my life. But we had a responsibility to walk before God as a new unit and seek to introduce ways of doing things that we felt were as close as we could to Scripture, that honored God's word, that honored his work in our lives. The third point I want to make in applying this truth is this. We need to think beyond the immediate family and parents' relationships here. These commandments, they do have an immediate response. They do have an immediate and direct bearing on the issues that they address. So don't use this particular point as a way out of honoring and respecting your parents. But think wider still. Think in broader terms in relation to the application. It's good and it's right to honor, to respect your parents, regardless of how good they are at their job. But there's a principle here that goes beyond this. As we consider this first, as the first of these horizontal commands and how they affect our relationships with one another, and how that and how the basis of this relationship forms our society or should form and shape our society, we need to honor and respect those who have gone before us. I think it's something we could all agree that at large in our society has probably fallen away from what it used to be. I'm sounding like an old granddad now, aren't I? I remember when. But the reality is that respect for elders is not seen as much generally in society as I remember it was. But think in the context that where you are here, in the context of this church, in the context of your relationships that you have. Those who are spiritual parents to us, those who mentor us, the elders and the leaders that God has provided in this local church. And when you think of those different relationships, you have to go back to the first point that I've made there on the screen. It goes back to God's sovereign provision. He has provided for us, not only the physical parents that we have to care for us and to look after us and to teach us about God himself, but also he's provided for us in our church context. He's provided for us in our many relationships that in order to teach us, in order to encourage us, in order to move us forward on our journey with him. And so think in your context. I'm not you. Remember that. I'm not you. And I'm not going to try and be you. But think in your life, beyond the immediate application of honoring and respecting your own father and mother. Think of those people around you that have had influence in your life, that lead you, that guide you, that try to give that spiritual direction to you and encouragement and the challenge that's needed from time to time. And I think this commandment extends to such people. Honor, respect those that God has set over you to lead you and to guide you. So as we try to put this into practice on a day-by-day basis, we need to think about this moving forward into this week. As we go into this week, don't just forget, and oh, I remember the sermon that Tim preached on Sunday. Apply it to yourself. Think about your own relationship with your parents. Is there a way that you can honor them more in the way that you interact with them? Is there a way that you can give thanks to God specifically for some of the things that your physical parents have given you and provided for you? But then extend that to those that God has provided around you, as leaders around you, as guides, as mentors, as spiritual parents. How are you honoring them? How are you respecting them as you walk through life? The challenge for each one of us, myself included, is to love them, to respect them, to honor them in our heart, yes, but also on our lips. I'm not saying this because I want you to come up afterwards and pat me on the back and say, I want to honor you, Tim, you're doing a fantastic job as senior pastor. I'm not interested in that. Please understand what I'm saying here. But if I have a relationship with somebody and for example in the capacity as a mentor is where I'm thinking in relation to this. And I say with my lips to this man that you're doing a wonderful job. I really appreciate how you're helping me and guiding me and I want to honor you in all that you're seeking to do. But then I have a quiet conversation with Andrew in the office. Oh, he's a right pain, you know that? He challenges me so much. You know, that is not honoring him. To say with my lips to him that I appreciate what he's doing, but then in my heart to criticize and to struggle with the situation, that is not honoring to God. And the whole principle of, and I can't get into it this morning, my time has gone, but the whole principle of the Ten Commandments here is about our hearts and how we respond in worship. So there's no point saying the right things and praying a beautiful prayer and speaking out the encouragements that speak into people's lives in this way if in my heart it is far from God. And if in my heart it is the complete opposite to what I am saying, remember, friends, God knows our hearts. We might be able to hide it from everybody else around us, but God knows. And when we have those thoughts and we're thinking the opposite of what we're saying, God knows, my friend. And the encouragement I want to bring to you this morning is, would that honoring, would that respect for our elders be real? Would it be genuine? Would we genuinely love them, respect them, honor them, both in our hearts and with our lips? And may it be to the glory of God. Why? What we're considering in this series is this is our worship to God. It's not a tick box, but it's an act of worship as we respond in this way. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you are the all-knowing God and there is nothing hidden from you. You know the darkest, deepest, and most intimate recesses of my heart. And I pray, oh God, would you continue to work in my heart? My desire is not to just perform these commandments. But may each of our desires here this morning, may our desire be to worship you through honoring and respecting our elders. We pray, oh God, make this real. May it not just be one of the Ten Commandments that we recite, but may it be a real and genuine act of worship to you, O God, for who you are and the revelation of your character, but also for all that you have done. We ask this for the glory of your great name. Amen.